Professional voice time.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to Sticky Pickles. Ever found yourself stuck in a pickle? Knee deep in a dilemma? Question is, what do you do now? I'm Maria.
And I'm Carol, and this is season 2, episode 16 of Sticky Pickles, Dead Boss and the Pranking Addict. And we have a special guest today, introducing D-Dog Dave, also known as Dave Bittner, friend, fellow podcaster, and today's Sanity Meter guest host.
Dave!
Hello. Big fan, long-time listener, first-time caller. Happy to take part today.
Glad to have you with us.
Well, one day we are going to get Dave's sticky pickle, because he's told me he has one. But today, he is going to be our...
be one of those shows. mm-hmm.
He's going to help us give very unprofessional, Dave, before we kick off.
Well, I suppose if you want to find me online, I happen to be the host of the CyberWire podcast, which actually both of you have been on. Yeah, you've both been on that show. So it's a cybersecurity show, so if that's your bag, check it out.
Fabulicious. Maria, over to you. What is your sticky pickle, dead boss? Oh, and Dave, buckle up.
Strap in, friends. All right, so we have at corporate America, April. She's probably mid-level manager. She's been working for about 10, 15 years at her comfortable job.
She's on top of everything. So she knows where everything is. She knows who to speak to after that length of time.
She's comfortable. Mm-hmm. She's fine. She's not high level. She's not low level. She's just there in the middle. She's doing A-okay. And her boss's name is Derek. And Derek, like her, 10, 15 years under his belt total. So, you know, youngish person. There's a lot of life still left ahead of him. But not a super nice boss. And honestly, not a super nice person. April's not exactly fond of Derek.
Oh.
Yeah, Derek's one of those guys who in public is always like very effusive with his praise and makes sure to only criticize in private. Some good management skills, right?
Yeah.
But when he is criticizing in private to April specifically, he's frankly a fucking asshole. Mm. And it goes well beyond managerial advice. He gets real personal. He starts being super critical in ways that just go well beyond professional boundaries. And
kind of a Jekyll and Hyde sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've had asshole bosses. Have you guys had asshole bosses in your life?
Yes, asshole bosses in private, right?
I'm trying to...
I've probably been one, but yes.
Ooh.
No. The rare occasions when I've been a boss, I've been a very good boss. But I certainly know what they're like. It can... nothing worse than a bad boss.
Yeah, it can be a really hard job too, right, being a boss. But being the underling of a horrible boss sucks ass. I hate it.
It does, especially since Derek is a very popular guy around the company. Like, he gets shit done. His upper management guys, like, they love him. He gets the nice projects. He's very visible.
Interesting.
Yeah. So April's like, it's good to work for Derek because I get the good assignments because he brings them in, but he is demolishing my self-esteem behind the scenes, and I'm not sure if this devil's bargain is worth it. So over time, Derek's April's boss for quite a while. Over time, she notices that Derek's getting ill, and Derek eventually reveals to his team that he's actually very, very ill.
Oh.
And unfortunately, Derek actually succumbs to cancer.
Hmm.
While they're working together. Yeah, it's very, very sad. And everyone at the company is devastated because Derek was still a very young guy. He had a whole life ahead of him. He had a fiance. There was a lot of plans. And the company is organizing like a lot of memorial services and people talk about him very frequently. And April is very professional. She goes to Derek's funeral, says her condolences to his family and, you know, all that kind of thing. Uh-huh. But people are always talking about Derek around April and being like, he was so great. They're basically making him out to be a saint.
And
April's like, this man was not a saint. And she's frankly getting really sick of it. But she doesn't want to be the asshole who's like, no, he sucked. I don't care that he's dead. He sucked.
You mean that mm-hmm. dick, so, that dick-faced Derek? Good riddance. R.I.P. She can't really do that, can she?
No. Mm-hmm. No. So the sticky pickle that she's in is because she was one of his direct reports, she's been asked to memorialize him at a company meeting, like a company-wide meeting, to say some kind words about Derek. And of course, she can just suck it up and do it. But she's kind of like, can I just opt to be like, somebody else, please take this job? Like, would it be really bad if she goes, I'd rather not? Like, and how do I do that without people going, you're an asshole? Mm-hmm. Any thoughts about that?
Ooh. Yeah, that's a good one.
Well, I think the easy way out would be to frame it and say, you know, we had such a close working relationship that I'm afraid that I wouldn't be able to control my emotions under the circumstances. So I'd really rather pass that responsibility on to someone else.
To someone who didn't know Derek as well as I.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
I see. Okay, so we're appealing to people's sympathies, and surely they must, that April must have adored Derek just as much as everybody else does. Okay.
I might use my, you know, public relations skill to put together a very clever sentiment, things that said like, I can't say how much I loved working for Derek. You know,
right,
or
right.
Amazing is not the right word to describe him. He is so much more, yes, than that.
His was an unconventional beauty.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
Derek will be sorely missed by so many.
Mm-hmm. Maybe not me specifically, yeah, but others, surely.
Exactly.
Yes.
See, the other thing that I think that could be useful for is sort of sending out a wink, wink, nod, nod if there are other people in the company who are getting the same sort of treatment from him, but they never managed, yeah, to connect with each other. And I could see you using, mm, euphemisms like, he, as we all know, he was very strong-willed. He could be stubborn. He wasn't one to hold back his opinions. And if you see people out in the crowd nodding their head knowingly,
very vigorous then nodding, you, yes.
Right, right, exactly.
So, okay, so she could dodge that bullet, but I think that there's also an ongoing sticky pickle here of, she say the memorial service is done and dusted. She's said or not said her part, however she ends up doing this. People are still really love this guy, and it sounds like he's, like, for all we know, they're going to put up a plaque to him in the lobby, like, name a scholarship after him for the incoming interns. Like, and she kind of knows the real deal about this dude. And it does it go beyond normal human flaws? I would argue yes. How does she deal with that?
I would say she knows the real side of him, but everyone, all these sides are real of him, right? If it depends, right, if he was just a dick to April. Like, if they just had a clash and he happened to be her boss. I mean, I've worked for an asshole. It sucks. It sucks. But you get over it and you move on and whatever. And the guy's dead. The guy is dead.
Does she have to go along with this?
Yeah, she's going to have to look at the mural that they paint in the lobby.
The Derek mural. The Derek Memorial Scholarship for very, very motivated interns.
Maybe she should take the, right, role to actually paint the mural, and then she could set the scene appropriately.
Right. I was going to say, she could volunteer to choose the artist and choose a really bad,
really
one.
Yes. From beyond the grave, I curse at thee, Derek. Yeah. Okay. All right. So she's just going to suck it up? Okay.
Yeah. Or she could say, you know what Derek used to always say to me in private? He was so, like, for all the good things that she wanted him to be, like, you know, collaboration and equal management and flat tiering and all this stuff. And then she could maybe make a mural with, you know, his wise words and actually just put the words in his mouth and make him a better person post-death.
You're lionizing this guy after his... Okay.
And just an option.
Nobody's advocating for her to, like, stand in her truth and be like, Derek was a dick. I didn't like him very much, and I really... Nobody wants to do that? Nobody wants to speak ill of the dead?
You don't want to lose your job. I mean, it depends how important it is. I mean, he's not really important to her anymore, right?
Correct. I mean, he's gone, right? Yeah. So, and he's not her boss anymore. Does that free her to speak her mind now? Especially since she doesn't know if anyone else feels the same?
Yeah, I think if anyone asks her, then she's free to speak. Or if someone, or if she's in a one-on-one with someone, or in a situation with trusted folks, colleagues, if they're espousing how wonderful Derek was, and she's just sitting there being quiet, and she could say, you know, there were two sides to Derek, and here was my experience. See if there's a reaction there. But I don't think it's her place to go out loaded for bear and just because everyone's experiencing their own mourning process, right? And you don't want to That's valid as well. So you don't want to. Wow. People will turn on you if you interrupt their mourning process.
That is very, very. That's very true. Yeah, I said wow because I'm like, that's very true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's. I'm in awe of that advice, frankly. That's high level stuff. I'm like, bravo.
Okay, I'll bring it down a notch because it suddenly reminded me of this story. So there was this guy in the conference circuit, and he kind of basically smelt of piss all the time.
Oh, so not Graham we're talking about. Okay.
No. No. But he did, right? He just, and people kind of knew it. You know, we kind of like, you'd always stand back and, you know, he was a smart guy. Just, yeah.
Yeah.
And he died. And it was all like that's how people knew him. They didn't always know his name.
He was the piss guy.
Yes. So there was always this, there was always like, oh, did you hear, you know, that blah, blah, you know, passed away. Who's that? You know.
Our fragrant friend.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Can you imagine your whole life you didn't know that you stank of piss, but that's not how everybody knows you? Like, it's you. Oh, my God. Please promise me that if I ever stink of piss and you can smell it through the microphone, that you tell me.
If I can smell you from here.
Please yes, tell me. Please. Will. Oh, my God.
Right.
Say it nicely, but,
The other thing it reminds me of is how everyone goes to heaven at their eulogy.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you're never at a funeral where someone says, well, you know, Bob or Mary are dearly departed now, and, well, they were a horrible person, so we all know they're going to the warm, smoky, hot place. But, that never happens.
I've been to a funeral where the eulogy was very frosty, though. Where it was not, it was not full of effusive praise of the deceased. That was probably because the person was an absolutely terrible person. It was not Hitler. I was not there, but it was just like a person who really sucked. And the eulogy was like, this person existed and he died.
Yeah.
That was basically right. It. It's like, oof, right. Damned by faint praise.
Yeah, I think April should just STFU, maybe do the memorial. Like, she doesn't have to do the talking. She could just say, there's much better people than me, you know? No, whatever.
Pass politely. Yep.
And then just, I'd keep shtum. And it'll go away after a while, right? It's just a big deal right now.
Yeah, that's good advice. See, I'm terrible. I would have been like, yeah, I hated that guy. He sucked. I told y'all he sucked, and I'd lose my job.
I know, but what if his fiance heard you say that and was like, oh my God.
Yeah, that's right. There's another person. Oh, yeah, okay, that's true.
I don't know. I mean, if this person was behaving this way with one subordinate at this office, this was not a one-off thing. This person had this type of behavior baked in, and I would imagine this, you know, percolated through all of the relationships in his life.
That's very true. That's very true. Good points.
And yeah, you know, said she'd been there 15 years, and were that me, everyone would know how I felt about that person. Like, everyone.
Everyone. Carol, if you'd been there 5 minutes, everybody would know how you felt about
him. He wouldn't have lasted 10 seconds.
Fitner's got your number, Carol. He got you. Carol, so what is your sticky pickle?
Okay, we have a married couple this week, Wallace and Bert. Now, these two gents have known each other forever. They've been together for about 5 years, married for 3, live in a cute little farmhouse thing in a small market town, like about 10,000 people, that kind of size, right? Either of you guys, small town people, ever live in a small town?
No, suburbs.
Yeah, not as small as 10,000, no.
You know, it's small enough that you don't have any privacy. Basically, everybody knows your business.
No, my parents have lived in a place like that, but I have not.
Yeah.
So I've heard the complaints from my folks, but privacy is definitely a thing I have.
Right, right. Okay, so with these guys, you'd think, oh God, they're gay, they live in a kind of small market town, but they are loved by the town folk, right?
Oh, excellent.
And
okay.
This is not a historically open to different lifestyle sort of place, but because they both grew up there and then fell in love and married, I don't know, familiarity outpaced prejudice.
Yes.
Basically.
It's like they're gay, but they're our gays.
Yes.
That kind of thing.
We know them. Yeah.
We know them, so they're okay. Yeah. Right. That dynamic is known.
None of those big city gays.
Yes.
Those are hometown boys.
Yes.
Right.
Sadly, it often works this way. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
And you'd hear things like, you know, oh, darling Bert and that rascal Wallace. Oh, those two are so kooky, but they're ours. We love them. So now I'd love to say that everything's been fine until recently, but that would be a lie. especially if you asked Bert.
Bah, bah, bah. Okay.
Yes, see, that rascal Wallace loves to pull pranks. And his favorite target is his beloved darling Birdie. And it's because Birdie is just so easy to prank and is so dramatic when he's shocked and surprised, like, oh, you know, and panics and, you know, goes to like, you know, goes right into like emergency, I'm going to fix this, you know, situations.
That's the best possible reaction for a prank. Like, yeah, that's a self-seeding problem.
And Wallace loves it, just loves it. So for example, okay, for example. Wallace will say to Birdie Wordie in a hurried, distracted manner, saying, Bert, 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 try this, try this. And he'll shove something in his mouth. And like half the time, it's something like smeared with like Marmite and peanut butter, two things that Birdie detests.
Ooh, that's gross.
Yes! God, it would drive me nuts. Or Wallace, you know, told Birdie, you know, it's like that there's a charity event. He's like, oh, it's fancy dress, when actually it was black tie. And then he knew that Birdie would show up dressed as Fred Flintstone. And then Wallace just died, you know, just died.
Okay. I thought fancy, so in my head, fancy dress meant black tie. So, okay.
You it's like, yeah, like costumes. Yeah.
Like a costume.
Costume. Okay. That, okay. Yep, yep.
Little Atlantic sometimes rears its head.
Yeah, the Atlantic gets yeah, because I was going, what's the problem there? Okay. That's just my stupidity.
No. It's just something I didn't know that was called fancy dress.
Maria, we're Americans.
It's inherently stupid.
We should not be expected to know about anything outside of our borders. Yeah.
That's part of the Pledge of Allegiance. Yeah, it's true.
You just keep your European sophistication on your side of the pond.
Noted.
And Wallace once pretended that Elton John was coming to a nearby city and that he had front row tickets for both of them. But the joke's on Birdie, because why would Elton ever come to this pinhole of a town? Screamed Wallace. Like, and he loves it, right? Joyous. Mm. Joyous.
Oh, this feels so mean. They're married?
Yeah.
Damn, I wouldn't even be friends with a person like this after like one or once or twice of this.
Well,
jeez.
Yeah. So sticky pickle numero uno here is Birdie, like you, Maria, is unsurprisingly not a huge fan of these so-called Wallace jokes.
Wallace jokes.
But here's the thing. The entire town is. Because Wallace is a big showman, a raconteur, if you will, a storyteller. Right? So not only does he prank Birdie, but then jumps around town at the coffee shop, at the store, telling everyone about it. And it brings the town immense joy.
Divorce. Nope. Not having it. Of course, they've got a village idiot.
Oh, no. When they see Birdie, they gasp. They laugh. They love him. They're like, I heard what happens. That Wallace naughty. Oh, that naughty rascal.
And, well, how does he respond? Does he go, oh, yeah, he loves the sympathy? Or
no, Birdie's not really come super clean, because Wallace has always been like this. But Wallace is hot, right? And Wallace is fun. And Wallace is sexy. And Wallace is great at so many other things. He's just a bit of a
asshole.
You know,
he's a hot asshole. Okay. And he tortures his spouse. Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay.
Well, even Birdie's own parents think Wallace is hilarious.
I have a big problem with all of this. Okay.
It just occurred to me, I wonder if everyone thinks Wallace is hilarious because at least he's not picking on them. I wonder if that's why.
Maybe.
Right. Like the group that gathers around and cheers on the bully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is just like his, oh, geez. Like it is bullying. It's, I mean, has Bert said anything like, I'm not okay with this? Or is he just like tacitly, not that that's, makes it better or worse. Just
yeah, he's gone up to him and kind of, you know, but he broached the topic gently, you know, but Wallace just doesn't hear him. He just laughs it off, tells him he's sensitive, tells him loudly, I was just joking. Can't you take a joke? It was a joke.
This is abusive bullshit.
Yeah. So what's Birdie to do? Like, he does love Wallace, hates his pranks, right? Knows Wallace is a good person, thinks his pranks are dickish things to do. And Birdie's always tolerated them like a darling, but it's starting to grate.
Yeah, he's not going to be able to tolerate this much longer.
Mm-mm. Yeah, and Wallace is going to be, if he gets through to Wallace, the worry is that Wallace is going to be dramatically hurt, tell everyone he knows, and then Birdie will no longer be the darling, but the asshole.
He can suck it up and deal. Like, he's been dishing it out. It's time for him to take it a little bit. I mean, if he's been hurting his spouse all this time, and his spouse is like, I don't like that, and he's continuing to do it, that's really not okay. So I don't care if it hurts Wallace's feelings to be told to stop. If someone tells him to stop,
it's hard, though. Isn't it hard if you've been tiptoeing around someone for a... No, but whoa. But isn't it hard if you've been tiptoeing for years, I guess, around someone to suddenly get the balls to stand up for yourself and say, oi, enough? Like, that's a big change.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, if this were a sitcom, Bert would be planning his big elaborate response, you know, that would involve the whole town. Right.
And then somehow
it would spectacularly backfire, and he'd still end up being the one with, you know, pie in his face or something like that.
Yeah. Can ask you, what should he do? So that's one, right? Try and get back at him. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things, right? Do something equally outrageous or something, and try and swap the tables so that he becomes the jokester and Wallace becomes the darling.
Right. But that might give him permission to do even more up the ante, like, oh, you're in on the game. See how much fun this is? Let's keep going.
Yeah, exactly.
Until they kill each other.
Yeah, absolutely no lesson will be learned from that. Like, you're right. Mm-hmm. If it was a sitcom, it would be like, oh, okay. But like in real life, you know, he's not going to change his tune.
Yeah. I have a hair trigger startle reflex. So this really resonates with me. I do not like to be surprised. I don't like the loved ones in my family know that if they're coming in a room that I'm in and I'm by myself and I'm focused on some work, they need to make noise ahead of time. It's like, you know, walking through the forest with a bell so you don't surprise a bear, you know, because they...
Oh, dear.
Because I could be focused on some work I'm doing and someone comes in and they say, hey, Dave. And I go,
right? Same here.
Do you not find that like a release? Isn't that a nice release?
No, it's horrible. It is the worst.
Oh, I love it.
I did not know we had that in common, Dave, because I'm exactly the same way. I'm super jumpy like that. Yep.
We made the mistake one time of going to Busch Gardens, which is an amusement park near here. And it happened to be at Halloween time. And
When the
sun went down, the park transformed into this, imagine this 50-acre haunted house where something leaps out at you from behind everything.
Jump scares galore.
It's jump scares galore. At some point, I turned to my wife and I said, dear, I love you. We have to leave. I cannot do this anymore.
I am going to die.
Yeah, this is not pleasurable to me at all.
I'd be like, oh, God, party pooper.
I understand how some people like this. Those people are not me. I can't do it. It just, it's no good for me. It's just not my thing.
Yep.
So now, in terms of Bert here and Wallace, I think the way to approach it would be for Bert to say, let's have a conversation, and I want to explain to you how this makes me feel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right?
Do you think that's going to actually get through to Wallace, though?
Because, I'm thinking Wallace might just kind of roll his eyes and go, God.
He's been very dismissive in the past.
If part of the feeling is, this makes me feel like I don't want to spend time with you. Mm. This makes me feel like I can't trust you. This makes me feel like you're not being considerate of my feelings. Then those things might resonate. As a married couple, certainly they must love each other and are devoted and want to spend the rest of their days together. So I think if he could frame his feelings in those ways, that his actions are corrosive to their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe another way is to set some boundaries. You know, hey, it's okay if you every now and then something around the house is kind of fun, but you really don't need to bring the whole town in on this.
Yeah, that's the bit that worries me, is that it's performative for the whole town, and then he has the whole town laughing at his husband. Like, that's the part that makes me go, it goes beyond a prank.
With his husband. That's what he thinks. With his husband. They're laughing with you. They think it's funny.
Right.
Does he really, though? Like, that sounds like a lie you tell yourself.
That part where you fell down those flights of stairs and had to get surgery and stitches, hilarious.
We all found that super funny with you.
Isn't there an American show like Framed or something like where people get into like situations like that on video recording? Wasn't this something in the 80s, 90s?
Yes, we had bloopers and practical jokes.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So you guys find this kind of stuff funny, as a nation.
As a people, we do, certainly, yes.
Only us, literally no one else.
As a people, we like to laugh at the misfortune of others. I think we can own that, sure.
No other humans, yes. We also enjoy food and breathing air. It's a thing. we really enjoy food.
Okay, well, do you want to know what Birdie did?
Yes, I'm really curious.
He knew that Wallace would be all in his face. So he decided, I'm just going to take 3 months off work, book myself 3 month hiking excursion in Alaska. And I'm going to go on my own. And I'm going to go think about things and get, you know, some inner strength and all that, and then come back and face this. He sits Wallace down, right, and tells him over dinner. And Wallace bursts out laughing because he doesn't believe him. And he thinks this is Bertie's pathetic attempt at retaliation. No matter what Bertie does or says, shows him the pamphlets. Wallace shakes his head and says, give me a break. You could pick those up anywhere. Shows when he buys supplies, Wallace laughs in his face. When he packs his bags, Wallace giggles like a mental person. So what do you do now?
Get on that plane.
You pack your bags and don't come back.
Yeah. It's like, look who's laughing now.
That's the right answer.
Exactly. Wallace, I would say Wallace is undeserving of Bertie's love.
Seriously. Yeah.
Bertie, keep on trucking.
Yeah, go your own way, man. That's
find some hot bear in Alaska.
Or an otter, whatever reason to, you know.
And Alaska famously has a shortage of women, so it'd be the perfect place for him to go find someone new.
It's a good choice.
You know, Dave, I think your advice has been a bit professional. I don't know if you have any classes or anything, but, you know, your advice was good. Was solid, and I'm a little worried that we're.
Best.
Are you a marriage counselor by any chance, like part time?
No, just amateur. You know, just amateur.
unlicensed marriage therapist.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Yes.
It was a breath of fresh air. I gotta say.
Yeah.
That's it for this week's Sticky Pickles, Dave. If people want to connect with you, where can they do that?
They can find me on Twitter. It's at Bittner, B-I-T-T-N-E-R, or thecyberwire.com is where you'll find all my podcasts.
Excellent. Maria, over to you.
All right, so you can get in touch with us over at Sticky Pickles on social media, at Sticky Pickles on Twitter, and at Sticky Pickles Pod on Instagram. You can even email us your pickles at hello@stickypickles.com, and anything else you can find on stickypickles.com. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. This Sticky Pickles episode was created, hosted, and produced by Maria Varmazis and Carol Terrio, inspired by the internet, embellished by us. Boom! Uh-huh. Dave, what was that like?
That was great fun. Yeah. That was fun.
You're good at this.
Yeah, those,
You get deep.
You got real good advice in there.
Yeah.
You didn't bullshit anybody on that. That was good stuff. That was like good, serious advice. I loved it.